Across the pond in the UK, a battle is taking place that we're also facing here in the United States. Wealthy white leftists or progressives forcing transgenderism down our throats and forcing us to accept the unacceptable, that men can claim they are women and access women-only spaces and to compete in female-only sports. Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is the Red, White, and Rude, where we all know that politics is downstream of pop culture, and I am here to interpret it all for you. For those of you, if this is your first time, welcome aboard, and to everybody, please like and share. And where can you find other podcasts like this? Well, you can find them at grumblingsmedia.com, as well as other social media platforms such as YouTube, Rumble, Google, Apple, Spotify, ePandora. And we are under the profile handle of Grumblings Media. We've got a heck of a show for you today. It's going to be concise, as that's one of my new goals. Make sure these shows are concise. We're going to talk about the transgender battle that is faced that the UK is facing. We're facing it over here. But what makes this very interesting, it's coming from the hate is coming from a beloved actor who played an iconic role. And that is David Tennant, formerly known as Doctor Who. There's also an update to the Assassin's Creed Shadows game that is coming out, where the protagonist is a black individual who was never a samurai and who revisionist history is now claiming was. And we're going to close it out with a few words regarding Donald Sutherland, the father of Kiefer Sutherland, for those who are younger, as he passed away tragically. Well, not tragically. He lived a long, 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 long life. So we've got a heck of a show. So let's get. All righty. So our first topic at hand is David Tennant, formerly known as Doctor Who, an icon. Look, I actually loved him. To me, he was my second favorite doctor, the first one in the reboot, Eccleston or Eccleston, I always mispronounce his name, who only played one season. He only played one season. I can't remember Doctor Who. This version came out in the mid-2005s, and it was fun. It was fun. It was brilliant. It was progressive. It taught us how to live and learn from one another who are different cultures, but it was done in a manner that was respectful to everyone. There we go. I wasn't sure if you were able to see the picture of Doctor Who there. I'm still new at this, so there may be a few little glitches here, but that is David Tennant, formerly of Doctor Who fame. And as I said in the opening, an iconic figure Doctor Who is, and David Tennant, because of his portrayal, he is seen as an icon of that character, of taking that character to new heights. And it's well deserved. I'm not going to sit there and lie and say that it's not. However, he criticized UK Equalities Minister Cammy Badenoch during a speech at the British LGBT Awards. Tennant said he wished Badenoch did not exist. The quote, "didn't exist," unquote. And then he told her to, quote, "shut up," unquote, regarding her views on trans rights. Now, Badenoch has said she wants to ban trans women from women's spaces and defend single-sex spaces. Now, for those who always get confused, a trans woman is a man claiming to be a woman. Some of them have fully transitioned, but they tend to be the exception. A lot of cross-dressers, a lot of people who, a lot of pedophiles, a lot of bad people claim they are transgender to gain access to women-only spaces. So I want to insert the video here of David Tennant making this despicable, hateful speech towards what is a black woman who is a child of immigrants who is holding the highest position ever attained by a black woman. Now, let's not forget, he is a rich white elitist, has never suffered. He did not come from wealth or money, but he has never suffered. Let's hear what this bigot had to say.
Online idiot. But I don't have social media, so even I have to be told about that by my brilliant wife, Georgia, who is...
Let me start it over here. All right.
With a slogan, I attract the ire of the occasional online idiot. But I don't have social media, so even I have to be told about that by my brilliant wife, Georgia, who is the real engine behind anything we do. She educates me about empathy and understanding, and she has been a huge educator for me. But I suppose if I'm honest, I'm a little depressed by the fact that acknowledging that every...
Okay, so real quick here, his wife is the one who's pushing him on this. His wife is using his fame, the adulation he has gained. She is using David Tennant's capital. In politics, we call it political capital. When you use the fact that you may be beloved or have a mandate to push something through. His wife, a subpar actress, and I say subpar, nobody knows who she is. She's more famous for being the daughter of Peter Davison, a former Doctor Who from the 80s. That's her claim to fame. She's using her husband to push these transgender issues.
Everyone has the right to be who they want to be and live their life how they want to live it, as long as they're not hurting anyone else, should merit any kind of special award or special mention, because it's common sense, isn't it? It's...
Now, I have to interrupt again. He is correct. It's common sense. Look, I come from a fundamentalist family, and I grew up on my own. I was the only boy with three girls, so I developed a lot of cultural differences from a fundamentalist family. And he's right. You have to be compassionate. Everybody will be judged on their day, but there's no reason to have hate towards a gay person or a transgender. However, for lack of a better way of saying it, I don't practice these podcasts. It's kind of like people don't want to stay in their lane. Heterosexuals, transgenders, gays. You have your own communities, your own worlds. We interact. But what's happening now, they are trying to force their beliefs down our throats, and it's impacting specifically children. When you have a pedophile or a groomer, and in the gay community, there's a lot of natural grooming. That's a dirty secret they don't want to tell you. How do I know? Brother-in-law who was gay, had some gay friends. I actually asked. I used to have a transgender friend. We had a falling out because of she's an idiot. She didn't care about helping the cause, only helping herself. When I say helping the cause, the conservative cause. And I asked these questions. And I remember when Milovich at Breitbart, or I forget how to pronounce his name, came out and talked about how gay individuals groom. George Takei also had a tweet talking about that. So when this crosses and enters our lane and it's pedophiles, there's problems. When this crosses our lane and men, just because they're dressed as a woman, gain access to a locker room or, heaven forbid, a bathroom, a restroom with young girls in there, there's problems. And so that's what we're facing right now. Let us continue.
It is human decency. We shouldn't live in a world where that is worth remarking on. However, until we wake up and Kemi Badenoch doesn't exist anymore...
Right there, until Kemi Badenoch doesn't exist anymore. That's the problem with the left. They claim they're the tolerant party, whether it's over in the UK or here in the United States of America. They're not. They're not. We have seen here in the United States of America progressives the true face of racism. Why? It's white superiority. They think we Latinos and American blacks are too stupid to understand what's best for us. That's a form of racism. The leftists call this colonialism when, from the days when Europe went to different areas and colonized them. That's the mentality of back then. That's the mentality of leftists. That is the mentality of David Tennant. Whether he or his wife realizes it or not, they are acting like racists by their superiority and thinking they know what's best for everybody, specifically people of color.
I don't wish ill of her. I just wish her to shut up.
He just wishes for her to shut up. This is a powerful figure. Well, any politician at the height that Kimmy's at is a powerful figure. But he's using his capital to really waylay into her. And I'm going to tell you why that's wrong or hypocritical. And not because I believe it's wrong. He has every right to say what he can say. But it's wrong because, I'll say it now, because he's a progressive. He's a leftist. And if it was a conservative, who'd said that? The newspapers. The politicians on both sides, every minority group would jump down our throats and do everything to cancel us. With him, you heard the crowd there. Yay! Woo! Go, Doctor Who! Go, David Tennant! William interjects, go, bigot!
Told about that by my brilliant wife, George. It is human decency. We shouldn't live in a world where that is worth remarking on. However, until we wake up and Kemi Badenoch doesn't exist anymore, I don't wish ill of her, I just wish her to shut up. Whilst we do live in this world, I am honoured to receive this. I'm thrilled to be here and to be a part of this night. Pride is very important. In our house. It's a family affair. We have skin in the game. So this event tonight thrills me. It gives me hope. It gives me fire. It gives me energy and deep joy. And even if I feel I don't really deserve this, I'm very pleased and very proud to be receiving it. Thank you all so much.
I'll get to the skin in the game comment here shortly. But he deserves an award. He is a transgender ally. He will see he's okay with the rape of women. He's okay with children being groomed and pedophilia. That's what he believes. He has skin in the game. He himself has said it. You know, so if you all don't know who Kimmy Badenoch is, she is the Minister for Women and Equalities. To me, that's a stupid department. Only because it's built around gay LGBTQ issues and things of that nature, as well as women issues that, at least here in the States, women do have equality, even though they always claim they don't. But she's a conservative. That's a key difference here. She's a conservative party member proposing to include biological sex as a protected characteristic in the Equality Act. And that's an act that came out in 2010 that was designed to help protect the rights of women. So here's what she said. I wonder if I got this in my banners. Let me check. Oh, yeah, there we go. Here's what she said. This is about protecting those who are vulnerable. It is not about stopping trans people from having privacy and dignity. She goes on to say, changing your clothes doesn't change who you are. So what she's saying is, and she's correct, she's absolutely correct, being trans is not the issue that Badenoch is fighting. It's women and protecting them in their spaces. And y'all may be saying, spaces, man, all that does is create racism, you know, when you have only one kind. No, we're talking about rape shelters, locker rooms, women-only locker rooms, restrooms. Those are the type of spaces we are talking about. You know, and so, in essence, I look at her and I'm like, the minister strikes back. You know, she called Tennant a rich, lefty, white male celebrity. And she is absolutely right. Absolutely right. We see it here in the States all the time. And he attacked her despite being the only Black woman in government. His hate is so over the top. He threw out all his lefty conditioning of, this is what you're supposed to say about people of color. This is how you're supposed to act. He threw it out the window because he's allowed to, because she's a conservative. He can be as racist and as bigoted, as rude and as crude and as vile as he wants to be. You heard that gay crowd clapping. They don't care about anybody but themselves. You know, and this clash shows the ongoing debate in the UK over trans rights. And I'll tell you, our side, the conservative side, is losing. I personally believe the UK is on the precipice of being completely lost. Some believe they already are. Tennant is a leftist and is abusing his own children by letting them play out and confusing them with transgenderism. It is disgusting, my friends. Disgusting. And as I said, he is a great ally to the LGBTQ plus XYZDEFG, whatever the hell they add on there. It's like every other year they add on a couple more letters. And yeah, I am being sarcastic. You know, just LGB would signify, or maybe LGBT. I'll take that for the transgender. But man, they go off with all these extra acronyms. That's why they just put plus, LGBT plus, you know. But David Tennant went from Doctor Who. He's done other things, but he did a show called Good Omens. I saw season one. Phenomenal, phenomenal. I haven't bothered to see season two, and now I won't. I'm the type that I don't support people who I don't care for, products that are trying to destroy me. And that's fairly new of me for the past couple of years now. But Good Omens, it's an Amazon Prime series. It's in season two. He wore a shirt that read, "Leave trans kids alone, you absolute freaks." And I actually had that. Let me show that to you. Oh, before I do that, let me show you who Kemi Badenoch is. She's the one who said this is about protecting those who are vulnerable, about protecting women. Very strong woman, a very strong Black woman. If you are a Black UK, and I'm not sure how they say it. We say Black American here. But if you are a Black Briton, she is somebody to be proud of. She's holding her ground. She's achieved a lot. She's actually gone against the grain. It's easier to be a minority leftist or Labor Party member than it is a conservative party member. It's no different than here in the States. So let's get back to the picture, though, of the Good Omens press day where he wore a shirt that read, "Leave trans kids alone, you absolute freak." And that's him right there, David Tennant. You know, at the end of the day, he can wear whatever the hell he wants to wear. Yeah, let me see if I can make this slightly bigger for y'all to see there. Hopefully that's a little bigger, but you see that? And God bless him, he can wear that shirt. He doesn't have to answer to me. He doesn't have to answer to anybody. He will answer at the end of his life to someone, something, you know, God, you know. Maybe that Good Omens is a, you know, will come up again after he meets his makers, you know. Now, let's get back to what he said here. He said in his acceptance speech, "I am thrilled to be here and to be a part of this night." Let me repeat. "I am thrilled to be here and to be a part of this night. Pride is very important in our house. It's a family affair. We have skin in the game. So this event tonight thrills me." Oh, my goodness. This event tonight thrills me. So some believe that his kid, his son, I assume, Wilfred Tennant, is transgender. I say assume because, you know, at this day, at this point in time, they're calling themselves whatever the hell they want. But no, it's his son. Some believe that Wilfred Tennant is transgender. I'm not going to show you any pictures of the kids. They're covered up in the face, but they had a big pride night for this event, and they dress all their kids up in pride gear. You know, and it's rampant right now on social media that one or more of his kids are transitioning or playing transgenderism with his and his wife's encouragement. See, and that's a kicker. Sometimes kids don't want to do it, but the pressure, the Munchausen syndrome, you know, of the parents' sickness is being pushed onto the kids. But we don't know. But one question I do have is, why are so many celebrities statistically over the top in the sheer numbers of them with their children playing the transgender game? I guess I shouldn't say a game. It's not really a game, my friends. It's a deadly situation. Puberty blockers, which is a mild form, versus just immediately starting to do castration, the removing of breasts, things of that nature. You know, people say puberty blockers, that's a safer option, but they stunt your pubertical growth, your puberty, your growth. If you're a boy, expect to have a Vienna sausage a penis. If you're a girl, don't expect to have breasts. And it also it has issues like dealing with the bones, making them more brittle. It's a mess. But some parents, they get straight to the point. They whack the breast, whack the penis. They go through it all. And we are going to be suffering through this, say, a few years after this process happens. You know, a child's brain does not finish developing until you're approximately 24. And I'm going to repeat a story I told. I read it online where the parents said that their little boy came home wanting to be a girl. So instead of, oh, he's transgender, yay, we're in the in crowd, woo, they stopped, sat their child down, talked to him, and it turned out he wanted to be a girl because his sister was getting more attention than him in his mind. So he thought by being a girl, he could gain as much attention. This is a dangerous game these people are playing, and it will result in permanent scarring mentally, emotionally, and physically. Over here, if you're English and you're listening to this, I listed about 10 here, and there were like dozens more. Charlize Theron has a daughter, assigned female at birth, now identifying as a boy. Dwayne Wade and Gabriel Union. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, Warren Beatty and Annette Bening. If you're old, Warren Beatty was a heartthrob in the 70s, superstar stud in the 70s. Annette Bening had some claim to fame herself as an actress in the 80s. Robert De Niro, that guy's that piece of work, incredible actor, vile, despicable human being. I mean, he's probably already wondering, why is it so warm around here? We know where he's headed. Cynthia Nixon, she ran Sex in the City. It's her claim to fame. She ran for governor of New York, got trounced. Again, I said Gabriel Union, and it's her stepdaughter, Zaya Wade, identifies as a transgender. I had her twice accidentally. But it's a boy playing the girl role now. Charlie Sheen, his daughter, identifies as transgender. Jennifer Garner, Jamie Lee Curtis. And where you guys are at, you know, obviously David Tennant, he's got skin in the game. Emma Bunton, from my American peers, of the Spice Girls, Susie Green, and Anna Richardson. I had no clue who they are. They showed up on my list of my research. Like, let me add them on there, you know. But it's very overwhelming here in these United States of America. But over across the pond, you know, David Tennant alone is an icon, probably and arguably one of the most beloved icon actors in the UK. These are just a few examples of famous people with children who are transitioning or transgender. And that seems to be a higher ratio than the country's actual ratio of straight to transgender. A lot of them are adopted too. That's what I find scary. So why? I mean, we're never going to sit there and know why, you know? And so it's hypocritical what David Tennant did. You know, whether in the United States or the United Kingdom, Democrats or the Labor Party members would never refer to a privileged man, I'm sorry, to would never refer a privileged white man wishing for a female black leading politician and daughter of immigrants to shut up or not exist. That's a big no-no. As I said, they will come out attacking that conservative. And it wouldn't just be constituents. It will be the politicians, the papers. It will be everybody. But David Tennant is a Labor Party supporter. In fact, he's a bit of a socialist based off my research. He's not a good human being, it turns out. He may be a nice man, but at his core, he would literally lord over you as a Dalek, so the cyborgs would. That's the type of human being he is at his core. So being bigoted and or racist towards a black woman in the Conservative Party is accepted. I call it bull bleep because it's hypocritical. Don't claim to sit there and talk about racism and allow it for somebody who thinks differently ideologically, because at the end of the day, it just shows you don't care about racism. You just use it as a tool. You weaponize racism to further your own ideology, because if you truly cared about racism, you would not want anybody, regardless of party, religion, or culture, to be attacked that way. Over here, we got it. It's the same thing over here. Joe Biden, our president, he has a history of racist comments, a few of them. And there's too many to list. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking. Let me pop that up. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking. I didn't put this one into the banners, but he also stated, Hold on one second. Let me grab it. Here we go. Unless we do something about this, my children are going to grow up in a jungle. Unless we do something about this, my children are going to grow up in a jungle. Incredible, incredible. And his final one. If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black. So that was condescending. That's what I call the white superiority, the colonialistic mentality that the left is always talking about white individuals having. And they do. And most of those individuals tend to be in the Labor Party over across the pond in the UK or in the Democratic Party here in the United States. If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black. Again, incredible. Incredible. And obviously, there is David Tennant. Remember, he said, pride is very important in our house. It's a family affair. We have skin in the game. So this event tonight thrills me. So what is his skin in the game? Well, it's his daughter. And because of that, this is what he said. I already posted it once, but it's that important to post it again. However, until we wake up and Kemi Badenoch doesn't exist anymore, I don't wish ill of her. I just wish her to shut up. Whilst we do live in this world, I am honored to receive this. Or is that whilst we do? And you English. But you get it. But he was being disrespectful. He was being condescending. He broke his own rule of, this is how you're supposed to treat everybody. Didn't he say it was common sense for us all to get along, for all to be able to speak our own mind, but then tells her to shut up? The hypocrisy of all of it. It's disgusting, but it's expected from somebody like him. What he's failing to realize is the danger to women. I already said it, but in domestic violence, refugees, you have prisons, bathrooms, that's right, prisons. Here in the United States, I'm sure it's probably happened at the UK, transgenders, men who claim to be women, have actually been put in women prisons. And what have they gone on to do? Rape the women. So it's domestic violence refugees that include prisons, bathrooms, locker rooms, and even sports. Those born males should not be allowed to go into female locker rooms. We should all oppose people identifying as trans who try to gain access to those places. Look, if you want me trans, I get it. God will judge us all, is my belief. If you don't believe in God per se, as in the Bible, or you're a Jew, or however you believe it, but you believe there's something spiritual, we're all going to be judged by our actions. I think the ones who are going to be most surprised will be the atheists. Oh, it's not all dark here. I'm not dead. The reason I say that, and my belief, is simple. From a scientific purpose or a standpoint, we are beings of energy. Something has to happen to that energy when we go. I believe that energy is our soul. Now, what is funny about Tenet is you'll have to go through me. This will crack you up, this picture, man. Let me go ahead and grab this one. This one here is hilarious. Let me, so you can see the full image here. Let me downsize it here slightly. I think that did it. Yes, it did. The picture on the left is the caricature, obviously, but that's how I see Tenet. That's how I see Tenet. I mean, look at him. He's a skinny little kid. Unless he knows martial arts or he's Jackie Chan has trained him. Be careful what you wish for. Be careful with the statements you say while you're in front of a mic with your security around you. There's a bunch of nuts out there on both sides. But this type of talk is what promotes violence. You'll have to go through me. And then what about his kids? He's got kids, Wilfred 10, Doris 8, and Birdie 4. You know, like I said, they were recently dressed up for a school pride event. Tenet himself is 53. His wife, George, is 39. Boy, he likes him young, doesn't he? And again, they're both vocal advocates. And as you heard him talk, they talk mean and vile in their elitist ways. Why? Because they have security around them. They're around their people, their friends. They don't think as to how violent the words are, you know, because he's implying violence. Protected men and women talk a lot of trash when they're not actually in a physical situation where an altercation will happen. Too many people out there will probably love to take him out. And we don't want violence, but he needs to tone it down. I wish they wouldn't talk like this, because there's an adage. Be careful what you wish for. And world-renowned author and arguably the UK's most famous celebrity, J.K. Rowling, jumped. Excuse me. Excuse me. Give me 1 second here, people, please. Excuse me. Ooh. You know, when you take that breath, and whoop, something goes, that little spickle goes down your throat. TMI there. Let's get back to J.K. Rowling stepped into the fray. I'm not going to say much about her. She's very hot. You know, that's a younger picture. But I never knew. I was like, damn, that woman's hot. Wealthy, successful, strong. That's every alpha male's nightmare. Men traditionally don't like women to be stronger than they are. But hey, got to deal with it. I have a strong wife myself, and I appreciate her and love her. But J.K. Rowling is a very strong woman. She's an advocate for women's rights, has publicly criticized the trans movement, and she reshared the minister's message. That was pretty much her take. But to tell you a little bit about her, she's very gender critical in terms of looking at she's often seen as trans exclusionary, meaning they're critical of her because of her points she makes about transgenderism. So they call that gender critical feminism. Man, more terms in the modern age than history has ever seen. Some of her concerns She worries about the impact of trans activism on women's rights and spaces. Again, the fact that we're just the governments are just caving in and allowing men who are dressed as women to go into women refugee centers, whether it's a locker room, a rape center, a restroom, etc. She has faced significant backlash, and obviously she's been accused of transphobia. And her defense is she respects trans rights, but maintains concerns about a woman's safety. Now, she gets into it. She will call a trans, a lot of people, she will go trans on them. You know what I mean? She won't hold back with how she attacks them because they attacked her. She fights fire with fire. And because of that, they actually have the audacity to say J.K. Rowling is transphobic. She's not. She goes after trans, after men dressing as women who want access to female spaces. It's an ongoing controversy, and God bless this woman. She remains firm in her views despite all the criticism, and they have called to boycott her books, her upcoming show, and they all fail miserably. You know, and she told the actors pretty much to F off, you know, because they've come out against her. You know, she made them rich. She gave them a life these kids would never have seen, not that they're adults. And they don't want to sit down and understand what's happening. Why? It's easier to go with the flow. For you Brits over there and for the Americans here, because most of you don't know, you know, at its height, when the Revolutionary War was at its peak in support, it was only 45%. I have seen numbers from 10 to 13% supported the Revolutionary War when it began. You know, so she is going to go down not only as a historical figure as a writer, but also as a champion for women, because she's one of the few who's willing to do what she's done. And she does it because that's where she came from. She wasn't born with a silver spoon. She earned her billions. You know, a gay woman stepped up as well. Martina Navratilova. Well, here is what Martina said. Wow, the misogyny is in full force. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the perfect example of male entitlement. OMG. And she's referring to what David Tennant said. And for those of you who don't know, Martina took, y'all think Serena and, or rather the Williams sisters dominated. There are three phases of tennis in my life. There's a Chrissy Evert, Billie Jean King, you know, Billie Jean King, Chrissy Evert. I mean, they were great female players, but they were still female. Then came Martina, who is a female, but took the game to another level. She was like a robot. I mean, she took this game. I mean, she was literally unbeatable. I mean, I thought, damn, she would probably take a guy out, you know, in terms of her skill. She was that good. Then, in fact, if I remember correctly, I think she may have said if her and Michael Jordan had a baby, it'd be phenomenal, you know, the ultimate in human genetics or something to that effect. But after Martina came Steffi Graf, who took it to another level, and then came the Williams sisters. So Martina is one of the trailblazers of women in sports in showing the legitimacy of the female athlete, you know, and her position has also been met with backlash. Her initial position in 2019, she called, you know, allowing transgender women to compete in sports. She called that insane and cheating. She faced backlash because of that, accusations of being transphobic. And now her current stance is something along the lines that she supports transgender participation, but is an advocate for separate categories. And that ensures fairness. Yeah, if you're a trans gender woman, meaning you're a man who dresses as a woman, have your own category. I can't remember. There's a state in the United States, either Oregon or Washington. They did that. They got no entries from transgender women. Why? They wanted to go dominate the girls' sports. That's why. That alone is a telltale sign that this isn't real. Real in the sense that it's something that's biologically the DNA. No. If they truly wanted to compete, these transgender women Why not compete against other transgender women? Why? Because they want to win. We had a swimmer here ranked 450-something as a man and is the number one swimmer as a transgender woman with a schlong. Didn't get snipped off in the locker room. You know? She cites the physical advantages for male puberty. And she's absolutely correct that testosterone reduction can't fully mitigate. It's like natural steroids. Obviously, this is an ongoing debate, you know. Then there's the big man himself, British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. Now, Rishi himself he looks the part of a strong man there, but he's fighting for his life. He's down like 20 points for the upcoming election for prime minister. But what he said was, freedom of speech. I mean, he jumped in on this debate after Tennant did this. See, Tennant kind of stepped on a hornet's nest or an anthill, and everybody's riled up because of what he said. He told her to shut up, wishing she would disappear. That's kind of, in today's politically correct world, you don't do that. And the way he did it, even his own side is taking offense to it. Now, I haven't presented people on his side, but they are also taking, not taking this well. And I mean, he used his capital when he went to this event and spoke out so strongly, and he burned through quite a bit of that capital. And here's what Prime Minister Rishi Sunak said. Freedom of speech is the most powerful feature of our democracy. If you're calling for women to shut up and wishing they didn't exist, you are the problem. And he's actually correct. He wants everybody to accept his kid, other people's kids, all transgenders, but does not want to listen to the other side. He does not want to listen to a peaceful coexistence and how that can happen. He doesn't want to listen to what J.K. Rowling wants to propose, because that's what she's proposing. She isn't proposing, I mean, I myself am proposing, get away from the kids, you pedophiles, you groomers. And that's right. I said, that's my belief. Because a lot of them are like that. Well, William, they're less. No, they're not. No, they're not. They are out there. You know, now Rishi Sunak's stance on the 2010 Equality Act, which is created to help women in society, he wants that to be reviewed. I mean, he should have done this a while ago. In particular, the transgender rights. What the Conservative Party wants is to define sex as biological rather than gender identity. And that's how it should be. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. That's what the science says. It's kind of funny with Labor Party and Democrats over here in the U.S. Comes abortion, all of a sudden, they don't care about the science. When it comes to transgenderism, they don't care about the science. You know, when it comes to the climate change, the science is settled. No, it's not. The UN got caught in the 90s falsifying data, and it's still happening, the falsification of data. Climate change finally came to climate change after about 10 word games and titling it, because it wasn't working, global warming. You know, oh, no, actually, we're not warming. You know, every term they use was actually a self-defeating term because it wasn't true. It was a lie. The Earth wasn't going through what they were claiming. They still aren't. But climate change kind of encompasses everything. But it shows the weakness of the climate change argument. Everybody with common sense understands climate change is happening. But most of it, if not all of it, is happening because of the Earth's own changes. I mean, we had an ice age. There was a time of the dinosaurs. We can dispute what ended or started this, but they were there. And there was no man there. You know, or how about this is our highest temperature since 17 or 18, whatever, you know, when they started calculating these. So there's a lot of questions. But over here and over the pond, across the pond, the Conservative parties are weak. They're spineless, you know. So the Conservative Party wants to define sex as biological sex rather than gender identity. They want to strengthen the protection for women's single-sex spaces. So if you are, that's why you want biological sex. That way a man who dresses as a woman, claims to be a transgender woman, can't get into these spaces. The Labor Party does not want that. They say, oh, no, they're already protected. We already protect safe spaces. But the Labor Party recognizes a man dressing as a woman if he says he's a transgender woman. So they don't believe in the science. And the Conservative Party's proposed changes will limit legal protections for transgender individuals, as it should. They should not have the same protections as actual birth women and be allowed into these safe spaces. Obviously, this has also sparked debate and criticism, and the Conservative Party themselves have not come out with the full extent of the changes they would make. Now, the Labor Party leader stepped in as well. And his name is, God, I hate this, Sir Keir Starmer. Anybody with Sir, to me, is a pansy. Look, you Brits, I'm sorry. I love the shows. I love the way you guys have some of the best costuming, the best set designs. But man, you guys lost relevance after World War One. You know, when World War One happened, y'all lost relevance. So when I see these Sirs, it's like, well, so what? You know, y'all are the ones who are sitting there throwing down, $2 to $4 billion a year and giving it to white rich elitists who were the last party to viciously take the crown. And now you're treating them as gods. It's sickening. So when I see Sir Keir Starmer, yeah, screw him. Screw that title. But anyway, let me remove this one. Here's what he had to say. I wouldn't have engaged in the way that he did. I think it's right that we have these robust discussions, but we must do it respectfully. So he's trying to draw a middle ground. And let me show you who this guy is here real quick. He is likely the next prime minister. There you have it. That is him, Sir Starmer. He went on to say, and I didn't write this part in there, but he went on to say, obviously that happens. Oh, let me do it. I apologize. What I put up there, I wouldn't have engaged in the way that he did. I think it's right that we have these robust discussions, but we must do it respectfully. But what he had said right before that, which I didn't put in, but I'll read to you. I think in politics, as in life, it's really important that we are able to robustly disagree with others. Obviously, that happens a lot in the general election campaign, but we should do it with respect for everybody involved in that robust discussion. Now, the issue between Starmer and some women regarding the 2010 Equality Act is that it claims that trans women are legally women, and that's the gist of it. You know, so what's adequate protection? You know, they're demanding clearer definitions. It raises concerns amongst the trans activists. Well, if you cave in and say that we aren't women, you know, so he's looking at losing possibly various factions of votes. Maybe not this go round, except for one faction, but down the road, based on how they're going to revise this 2010 Equality Act, which he says he wants to do. So there's a lot of tension between the Labor Party, women's rights, and trans inclusivity. He has actually said he wants to sit down and meet with J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling is a leftist. But the friend, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I mean, so I look at J.K. Rowling as wanting to do what's right. Those are other battles you have. But on the trans issues, her and I stand alike. She stands much taller because she's more well-known, a lot of money, et cetera, et cetera. But as I said, J.K. Rowling came from that world, and she was not Silver Spoon. So he wants to meet with her because she has millions of followers. And right now she says she can't vote for Labor the way it is. So they requested to meet with her, which was the wrong thing to say. They said that publicly because there's a lot of LGBT groups, a lot of female women's groups who they won't give the time of day. but they'll give it to another rich billionaire constituent who happens to be J.K. Rowling. And God bless J.K. Rowling. She said, go screw yourself unless these other groups are meeting. And what I love about that woman is the simple fact she has not forgotten where she came from. I have made people a lot of money. I have gotten them, and they are holding on to six-figure jobs because of me. And they've all ignored the one lesson I tried to teach them. Never forget where you came from. Never. Because that is who you are at your core. You can hide behind money, hide behind other elitists, pretend or be a wannabe elitist, but you are who you are. And one day you will come back down that ladder and it will be painful. And God bless J.K. Rowling. She's never forgotten that. You know, so I want to play a video of Carrie, of Sir Keir Starmer, showing you the dilemma that they're facing with constituency, the females of in the UK. So, and this will blow your mind. Here we go.
I am listening, and I've long championed women's spaces, biological women's spaces. And Jane, it goes back many years. Before I was a politician, I was the director of public prosecutions between 2008 and 2013.
No, I don't care about all of that. What I care about is you saying that you're going to allow men to identify as women, making GRCs easier, and then they can come into women's spaces.
Yes, we do want to make the process more dignified.
Make the process more dignified. He's not talking at anything at all about protecting these women. He's trying to have his cake and eat it too by trying to say we can make it work in political terms. And as you will see, this woman wants to hear nothing of that.
That does not mean...
It's not about being dignified. This isn't about being kind or dignified. Well, this is about protecting women.
I understand.
You know, why are you putting our dignity on the line? For very few people, you need to treat them differently and say, no, you have to have a third space.
Yeah, Jane,
you can't take anything from women.
Jane, when it comes to women's spaces, biological women's spaces, in relation to the particular example I was going to point you to was when I was doing work trying to drive up the protection for women who've been subjected to violence, domestic violence, sexual violence.
Which is not interested in the past.
This is toilets. This isn't about what you have done. This is about what we want to be.
So he's playing a political game. He's talking about women and failing to sit there and properly acknowledge that the Labour Party recognizes trans women as in the same vein they recognize biological women. Remember, a trans woman is a man who dresses up as a woman and says he's a woman. They recognize that as a woman. And notice he's not talking about that. He's just talking about safe spaces for women. Well, she knows he's playing the game, and she wants none of it. She wants to hear none of it.
Jane, just hear me out.
We don't care about what you did in the past. We want you to say sex cannot be changed, and you will protect us from men coming into our space.
Jane, we will protect... I have protected in the past and worked with those protecting women's spaces. I will do that in the future. They will be protected. I'm particularly concerned about violence against women and girls and the need for biological or spaces for biological women to be safe there. The same in sport, the same in hospitals. But Jane,
can you say now?
You cannot have protection of women in sports without banning transgender women. Period. End of story. You can't. They say you can by testing testosterone levels, et cetera. But that's like saying, okay, if your steroid levels aren't at this point, you're good to go. You can't have anything steroid-wise. And that's what testosterone is to these men competing as women. It's as if these women took steroids.
Can you say now that you will not allow men, biological men, under any guise, to come into women's safe spaces?
We will, of course, protect...
Can you say that? Because we shouldn't have to be kind to these very few men. You need to think about 51% of the population who are sick of the absolute twaddle that comes out of your mouth when we ask these questions.
Yeah, Jane...
Wow. She let him have it. God bless that woman, because she's right. She's absolutely right. She wants him to say transgender women will not be allowed into women's safe spaces. Again, prisons. Well, that's not quite a safe space. Those women there are there for a reason. But as I've told you, men claiming to be transgender women have gone in there and raped them. Locker rooms with little girls. You know, they had a gay pride parades across the country this past month. They invite the kids. The city does. The council does. The politicians do. The organizations do. And at the San Francisco one, they were giving head, having fellatio right in front of everybody. Then the guy was starting to pissing on him. That was caught on film. And there's kids all over the place. There's this old man with this the right next, butt naked, right next to all these young children. It's not appropriate. There's a time and place for that. And it's not there. And that's what these ladies are trying to protect for themselves, as well as kids, I'm sure, too. And there you have it. Doctor Who, David Tennant, turns out to be one of the biggest, most vilest bigots you'll ever come across. Great actor, vile human being. All right, my friends, let us move on to Assassin's Creed Shadows, a cultural appropriation update. I talked about Assassin's Creed Shadows a few episodes back. You can check it out over at grumblingsmedia.com. And there's been a couple of updates to it. Let me show you. There's the image. That's the cover. Let me make it just a touch bit smaller. But in essence, you see the gist of it. Wow, look at that. The protagonist is Yasuke, who leftist progressive haters have stated is a legendary samurai. He's not. Please stop believing the nonfiction novels by Thomas Lockley. Almost all the information about him, Yasuke, historically can be read in about 2 minutes. Well, if you speak Japanese. So who is Yasuke? Well, let us remove that one. Well, based on available information, it's important to clarify that historical facts about Yasuke should be separate from the embellishments, but they haven't. They've made the embellishments and turned those into historical fact and called people who question it racist. The problem is they're not shutting us down. I call it hypocrisy. Don't sit there and bitch and whine and complain about cultural appropriation, which I completely disagree with in every form or fashion, because all it does is create greater hatred and more racism. Yasuke was an African man who arrived in Japan in the late 16th century, likely as a servant of a Jesuit missionary, Alessandro Valignano. I hope I said that right. He gained attention due to his unusual appearance in Japan at the time. He was tall and dark-skinned. He was black. So what happens with these elitists, something different, he became more of a pet that grew into a role with the clan that took him in. And that individual was the warlord Oda Nobunaga, and he was not a good guy. He was with it for about a year. He was present during Nobunaga's final moments, and he was tasked with delivering Nobunaga's head and sword to his son, Nobutada. After Nobunaga's death, his master, Nobunaga, Yasuke was captured by rival forces and returned to the Jesuits because he was not a samurai. He was not Japanese. He had no honor. He wasn't worthy of death through the Japanese ritual that samurais would go through, or that they, how they honored somebody and they killed him. Man, that's the truth right there. Right there's the truth. Now, I want to show you a picture of pretty much what I've been told. I don't speak Japanese, so I'm not 1,000% sure, but this is what I've been told is the history of what's known about Yasuke. That's it. I've been told that's approximately 13 lines worth of historical data on him. And there may be a little bit more written by the Jesuit priest, but in essence, that's what they got. That's what they got. So in essence, the primary sources of Yosuke are limited. And they consist of only a few paragraphs, as I've just noted. And much of what we know about him, obviously, is those fragmentary accounts and letters. Also, fragmentary accounts and letters by the Jesuit missionary Luis Froese, and historical chronicles and a few other sources. But very, very, very small, very limited. And his real name, birthplace, his actual ethnicity, we're assuming he's Black, and native language, that's unknown. Much of what is written about him in popular media, and he became popular through manga, which is Japanese comics, then through anime. In fact, Samuel L. Jackson voiced the Afro Samurai. That's how I discovered who he was. And then when I looked him up decades ago, whenever they did those the anime, I was like, oh, this guy's purely fiction. There's nothing nonfiction about him. And an individual who wrote the books is Thomas Lockley. And all his book does is speculate and make assumptions. He's even admitted this. And while it's an intriguing story, we know nothing about who and what he was, but we do know he was not a samurai. You know, a fair man would say, hey, approach all this critically, understand there's history, and then there's the creative interpretation. But no, they want to make the lies, this tale, the entertainment, the manga, the anime, they want to make that the actual historical truth. So to reiterate, Nobunaga was intrigued by Yasuke's presence, took him into service, granting him or giving him the name Yasuke. He received a servant, a house, and a stipend, which was extremely rare. And there's also some misquotes, too, of interpreting the Japanese, what was written. And again, he accompanied Nobunaga until Nobunaga passed away. And as a Jesuit recorded, he fought and surrendered to his enemy. Some say shamelessly, but we don't know. I mean, he may have been fighting the thousands versus a few, less than 100. Who knows? We don't know. But he surrendered. And that's when they realized, you know, he wasn't a samurai. He wasn't worthy of an honorable death. So they let him live. And that is pretty much it in regards to what we know about Yosuke. So what's the controversy? Again, it's a cultural appropriation. It's a Japanese game. Every protagonist, the hero of the game, in whatever country, in the Middle East, it was an Arab. In Italy, it was an Italian. In America, it was a half European white man and a half Native American. You know, so they have honored. There was a tale of a Creole in New Orleans, a side story. So they've always honored. It was in Greek. It was in Greece. It was a Greek. In Egypt, it was an Egyptian. You see where this is going? And in Japan, it's a Black man. At the same time that all this DEI, I forget what DEI is, but pretty much DEI is like the old days of affirmative action where they hire somebody who's qualified or not just to get the government off their back. That's what DEI is, sadly. And if you're Black, you should hate that as much as I do. I have worked with many strong Black men and women. I work with many idiots, too, of all colors, of all races, from white to Latino to Black. Great people, bunch of idiots. I've always found racists among them, including Asians. You know, so in essence, what we do know is that Yosuke, an enslaved Black man, rose to the stature to carry his master Nobunaga's weapons and gear. We know that. Ubisoft, the maker of the game, Assassin's Creed Shadows, is that what it's called? Assassin's Creed Shadows. Claims he was a samurai, but history doesn't. Westerners are believing a Westerner's book, and that's a book by Thomas Lockley, Afro Samurai. And Thomas Lockley, there were two authors, Thomas Lockley and Jeffrey Gerard. And Ubisoft did not use actual sources from Japan that know this history inside and out. Everything came from Western people. And Lockley's book, Lockley and Gerard's book, is hundreds of pages long, but it's only based on a few historical sentences. Yasuki wasn't much more than a novelty in his day. So, as somebody said online, it's historical fantasy, not fact. There's a lot of what-if fiction in those books. And even Thomas Lockley, as I already said, I will reiterate, said in an interview that he had to take some liberties. He took 99.9% of liberties with his book because there was no evidence regarding Yasuki of the claims he made in his book. One of the quotes I found, I'm not 100% sure this is actually there or somebody being mean, but I found it repeatedly. He is an animal and not a Japanese. He knows nothing. And the reason I would tend to believe that is that's how outsiders look at, I mean, that's how a culture without any diversity looks at other cultures. It's how whites look at blacks. It's how blacks in Africa, in South Africa right now, look at whites. It's open season on whites in South Africa. They have pretty much legalized the murder of white people over there. And, well, they haven't technically, but when you have politicians saying, kill the white man, and they're all clapping, that kind of tells you where the road that's going down. So that there's leftism with DEI, with the gaming CEO, the Ubisoft CEO. So I pause. Y'all don't know. It just goes right through. I just hit pause. But I had to look up what DEI actually stood for. Or, I mean, some of the acronyms conservatives have given it because it's hilarious. Look, so DEI stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion. Here's some of the ones in regards to the potential plane issues we've had. You know, we've had like stuff flying off of planes being grounded. And this all started when DEI started being implemented into the airport industry. So somebody says DEI stands for disaster expected imminently. Another one said division, exclusion, and inequality. Another one said divisions of ideological enforcement. My favorite one is didn't earn it. Because that's what DEI is. It's not based on somebody who's the most qualified. It's based off skin color. Right now, black skin color. But eventually, Latinos are going to, my brethren Latinos are going to start screaming, where's the brown people? Other, you know, Asians will go, where's the Asian? Well, the Asians took, Asians are seen as the other white meat. So I don't know about them, but it's never just one group. I mean, look at what the LGBT group has done with the civil rights, you know, and then now what transgenders are doing with the civil rights. It's like eventually everything and everybody wants to be included in the civil rights, the following of the Civil Rights Act. And for now, the government has always been willing to acquiesce to that. But my point here was the leftist DEI gaming CEO of Ubisoft. You know, I should have learned how to pronounce this, but Fez Guillemot, I like saying that. Fez Guillemot. He's condemned the racist backlash, as they call it, against Assassin's Creed Shadows. He's the actual racist. He's the actual bigot. He's the one promoting racism by forcing his company to hire people based off skin color, by forcing onto the developers who really want to create the best game possible, DEI people, white women, or an Asian woman from the Western world, not from Japan, you know, to sit there and say, this is what is Japanese history. You know, not that they don't know it or can't know it, but why not go straight to the source? People who aren't politically, have a political angle to push, have ideology they want to push and promote. Go to Japan, get the straight up story. But Guillemot does not want that. And he's attacking because this is a AAA game. A lot of money has been put into this game. This game must be a top seller or heads will roll. He's been there for a while. I don't know how safe he is, but critics argue that the company is guilty of culturally appropriating a Japanese history and is pandering to the woke audience. I'm not arguing that. I know that's what it is. So here's a new information. Japanese gamers are signing a petition. and it's in the tens of thousands. Before it's settling down, it'll probably be in the hundreds of thousands, you know. But it's a petition led by Japanese gamers to cancel the game. Now, Japan, the U.S. is a big market, and it's around the world market. But this is where the game is supposed to be based out of. They're hoping for mega sales. They're hoping for sales exponentially above the norm because it's in Japan. And Japan is the heart and soul of gaming. Again, this is an insult to Japanese culture and history, and that's why they're doing the petition. Again, Ubisoft is not promoting diversity and inclusion. They're culturally appropriating per their own rules. Per their own rules. That's what they're doing. And they're purposely misrepresenting the history for the sake of political correctness. That's what bugs me. They want to make the lie the truth. And it's not a story. It's not a myth. It's nothing. It's a lie now because they're claiming it to be true. It's either true or not. It's either true or a lie, and it's a lie. There's an ongoing battle between Democrats and Asian culture as well. And Blacks and Asians that I've seen my whole life growing up. And as a Latino, I have been welcomed into both groups. I have relatives who are both Black and white, as well as brown. I'm one of the lightest skin in my family on the Panamanian side. Some people have called me Blanquito, little whitey, down in Panama. So while Asians may vote Democrat, there's a lot of tension there. And don't forget, though, Asians are seen as the other white meat. But that's the big play here, and that's huge. Because that is going to grow, especially because of social media. It looks like the Japanese gamers are following, not following per se, but watching with the American conservative gamers who just want great games again, not the crap we're being shoved down our throats. And the problem with AAA games that come out like crap and are woke, it's a death knell and they don't sell. Again, heads will roll. And the second update is the Wikipedia Yasuke page has been locked out. There's no editing allowed. And guess what? Before they locked it out, Yasuke was never classified as a samurai before the Assassin's Creed controversy. Now he is. And yet they don't cite Japanese sources, just like Ubisoft didn't, Wikipedia doesn't. They only use westernized, politicized sources. Again, the page only references book by Thomas Lockley and Jeffrey Gerard, and it lacks any Japanese sources. And they accuse Western sources of trying to justify the inclusion of Yasuke as a samurai of the game. Those are critics who tried to go in there, including many Japanese, I'm assuming, to try to put the truth in. This is what you call historical revisionism, and that is a specialty of leftists. These types of entries is why Wikipedia isn't seen as a valid source, and academics or scientists do not accept it. Let me show you the page. That is the page. Let me make it a little bit bigger here for you. Doesn't look like I can make it bigger. In fact, it looks like it's getting smaller, doesn't it? Interesting. So what's happening here is the right-hand side is the newly formed page. And what that says is Yasuke was a man of African origin who served as a samurai to the Japanese daimyo, Nobunaga, for a period of 15 months. That's it, 15 months. There's not anything written. And it's a complete lie. The truth of the matter is nobody knows if he served as a samurai, but the assumption is he did not, or it would have been stated in one form or another. And they're going by the adage, well, it didn't say he was or wasn't, so we're saying he is, or we think he could have been. No, there's enough historical references in how these samurais were treated that would have meant it would have been recorded in some form or fashion. Yasuke was never a samurai, but Ubisoft included him as a main character to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's a lie. They put him in there for political reasons, to be seen in a certain way by those around them and outside them. They don't realize a lot of their gamers aren't going to buy this game. I'm not. I've had every Assassin's Creed game until Greece, and that's because I still have a couple more to play, but I had planned on playing the Greece and the Egyptian one. Now I probably won't bother. Why support a company like that? A company who believes in people and promoting them who, quote, didn't earn it, unquote. Oh, man. Again, the historical documents from when he lived, he was never described as a samurai. And those are the two updates. And that is where we stand with Yasuke. Yes, sir. I have a half a Japanese brother. I do plan on interviewing him. He is there's a handful of his family survived from his family, his Japanese side. The rest died in Nagasaki. That's some life-changing stuff there, you know. And with that, let us move on to Donald Sutherland. Rest in peace. So Donald Sutherland had a hell of a career, a long career, more movies than you can mention. And there he is, a great actor, a versatile actor, never seen as a superstar, but a character actor who had leading roles at times. But he was around. He was around from the 60s on to the just 2015, right, to just a few years ago. He's known for many roles. If you're younger, you won't recognize some of these, but they are seen as classics and some of the best that Hollywood has ever produced. One is obviously MASH. MASH, yes, MASH was a movie. MASH was a movie before it was a popular television series. And he played Captain Benjamin Franklin Hawkeye Pierce. That's the role Alan Alda played. And he was a surgeon who used humor to cope with the horrors of the Korean War. Then there's my personal favorite, Kelly's Heroes. And that was a war comedy. And he played Sergeant Oddball. And even in MASH, he had this hippie-ish twang to him, you know. But he really played that up as Sergeant Oddball. He was a laid-back tank commander. He had a penchant for wine and cheese. And he helps a group of American soldiers steal Nazi gold behind enemy lines. Clint Eastwood, Don Rickles, Carol O'Connor, who played in All in the Family. Then he played a movie in 1971, Clute, that I had never seen, which was a big hit. He portrayed John Clute, a detective investigating the disappearance of a businessman. And that leads him to a call girl, Jane Fonda. And that was Jane Fonda's era. Her era was like the mid-60s, early 70s. And she kind of came and went. That's why she got all the plastic surgery and started throwing her legs up in the air with her Jane Fonda healthy get fit videos. Then there was another one called Don't Look Now, 1973. It's a psychological thriller. It was with Julie Christie. And one of the more famous ones that's been redone a few times, so I know you've heard of it, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And he played the health inspector who discovers these aliens. And I never liked it. And I'm not going to give away the ending, but that's why I don't watch it. And I didn't watch that one, you know. And obviously, for all you youngins, you know him from The Hunger Games, which is a dystopian film series that we are heading into, George Orwell style. Sutherland played President Snow, a tyrannical leader of Panem who oversees The Hunger Games. I haven't bothered to see The Hunger Games. To me, it looks dumb and silly compared to the movies from the 80s and 90s. And I'm sorry, this 90-year-old girl is kicking serious male ass. No. Jennifer, whatever, Lawrence would have been taken out within the first few minutes of that game in real life. But that said, let me show you an image of MASH. Let me get back. Now, MASH was a big hit, and he is the definitive Hawkeye Pierce, even though Alan Alda did a great job. So for those of you who don't know, MASH stands for Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. And again, Alan Alda did not create the role. He took what Sutherland had created and ran with it. And again, did a wonderful job. In fact, that's his claim to fame. He did movies after that. There were mild hits, more HBO style type movies, you know, where people, a lot more people saw them on HBO at the time in the 70s. And then the other one, that Showtime, that competed with it when that came about. But It's considered one of his most memorable roles. The character uses jokes and pranks to cope with the horrors of the Korean War. I mean, these are doctors. They're seeing the worst of the worst. And Hawkeye, he's known for his sarcastic humor and very rebellious. And some of the stories in there, it's a must-see movie. You'll enjoy it. He defies military rules and regs. He's sarcastic and he's rebellious. And that movie helps solidify his place in Hollywood. And I guess one of the most memorable scenes from the film is when Hawkeye impersonates a general to get a nurse out of trouble. If I remember correct, that was when they were in Japan on some downtime, you know. And what it did, it showed Sutherland to have comedic timing. I mean, he always had it. But I mean, he was a star of this and he was able to improvise a bit. So his portrayal of Hawkeye Pierce, it's remembered for its humor, irreverence, and for humanizing a character at a time of war. There were some, poignant moments in that movie that humanized the war. Then there was Kelly's Heroes and Oddball. Let me get that one up for you. Let me remove this. Boop, you are gone. Let me get the other one in there. Present. And that is Oddball. And this one was my favorite. It was one of his iconic roles. He was Sergeant Oddball. Clint Eastwood meets him as he's trying to get some materials, supply materials to go for this gold from Don Rickles. And then out of the bed of hay up there, enter Oddball. The movie Kelly's Heroes, that Clint Eastwood, Telly Savalas, Don Rickles, Sutherland. It was an all-star cast. Carol O'Connor again. And it was about a group of American soldiers who go AWOL to rob a bank behind enemy lines. Now, they're AWOL, but the way it's played off, nobody really knows. And Sutherland played Oddball, who was a tank commander. He was laid back, chill. Hey, man, what's happening? I give a Latino one. Yes, awesome, muchacho. He did the Oddball version. And obviously, it was during World War II. And always with the negative ways, Moriarty. Always with the negative ways, Moriarty. And that became a famous quote from the film. And as I said earlier, he liked wine and cheese. And he helps the American soldiers steal the Nazi gold. He's portrayed eccentric and unconventional, who was yet still had a relaxed attitude. And what made it so cool is that was against anything military. You know, the disciplined military, especially in time of war. You know, he took that. I'm trying to think. What came out first? MASH or Kelly's Heroes? But doesn't matter. Both roles, while they were different, he took the same approach, the laid-back approach. I think it was more forceful because of the role he played. He was the leading character in MASH, and he was a supporting character here. So we really saw only the laid-back. Always with the negative ways, Moriarty. And Kelly's Heroes, his performance gave humor again to another war movie that in reality gave us death. And again, that's another one of his most memorable roles. And I apologize if I didn't say it. He was born July 17th, 1935. He passed away June 20th. 2024, at 88 years of age, less than a month from his 89th birthday. You know, people are like, it's sad. It says, I don't look at it that way. I'm like, God, he had a phenomenal life. Had a kid who went on to create his own fame, bigger than him and Kiefer Sutherland. You know, he was always supporting actor. Kiefer Sutherland was able to play leads. Of course, Kiefer Sutherland also went to TV, which, you know, is always a sign when you lose your stardom. Sutherland never really did, to my knowledge. He was always in movies. And so I would say Kiefer has done better, probably financially much better based on money. You know, once they changed that gold standard in the 70s, woo, they were printing money. That's why these guys get these multi-zillion dollar contracts these actors do. And back in Sutherland's day, it was not like that. But God bless Donald Sutherland. May he rest in peace. His physical presence that is still left on this earth. Because his spiritual, the embodiment of his spirituality has begun its next journey. So much love, Donald. Thank you. Thank you for making me laugh and making me enjoy comedy. Making me enjoy just your movies. He was a great actor. A great actor. And that's about it, my friends. That is about it. This is the Red, White, and Rude. You can find this podcast along with our political podcasts, our political sports podcast, as well as our standalone sports, meaning no politics, podcasts. You can find these at Apple, Google, Spotify, ePandora, as well as all of them at grumblingsmedia.com. Do not forget to like and share not only this podcast, but our shorts, our clips, our other podcasts, because that's how we'll grow. And that's how we'll keep on producing these. So, this is William Del Pilar. This is the Red, White, and Rude. And I bid you adieu.